Welcome back. I'm back. 1999 Sports Talk in 2022 is officially here. We just had the 2022 NBA Finals just last night. I'm recording this on Friday, June 3rd, 2022. Let's get started. I picked the Warriors to win in six. They're down 0-1. I predicted that it's going to split in the first two games in San Francisco, and it did. I thought it was going to be game two, but it did. And I watched the whole entire game. And my takeaway from it is that Boston is a bigger, more aggressive, more younger team. You know, this is their first year with Coach Ime Udoka. They have Jason Tatum. They have Jaylen Brown. They have Marcus Smart. All these guys who's been in the league for a while and has been all-stars. Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year. Al Horford, all-star. Robert Williams, second team all-defense this year. They have so many great players, great defensive-minded players especially, that have not got over that hump. And with teams like that, when they get into the finals, it's like it opens up the floodgates for them. And, you know, Boston shocked me because when they were down 10, when they were down 15, they didn't panic. You know, someone who I watched a lot in that game was Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown, this game one and same as last series, for some reason, he seems to think he's the point guard of the team, which he's not. And a lot of his handles become wild and become erratic. But one thing about Jaylen Brown is when he plays, the team goes with him. You know what I mean? When he plays good, the team plays good. When he touches the ball a lot, the team seems to produce very well. And, you know, he was the third overall pick in the 2016 NBA draft. For a reason. And we're seeing it now. He is a very, very, very good player. He's someone that reminds me so much of Jason Richardson, back with the Warriors, the Bobcats, and all that. And he was a guy that he was going to get his points, whether the team wins or loses. But when he does get his points, it goes in the flow of the offense. Or when the offense is doing good, he just so happens to produce well. Something that scares me about the Celtics, though, is Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. It seems like both of those guys could never do well together for some reason. When they're both on the court, when they're both playing whatever, you see Jason Tatum 40 points, Jaylen Brown 13 points. Or you see Jaylen Brown 25, 28 points. And then you see Jason Tatum nothing, or, you know, struggling like how you did last game. And for some reason, you know, if you're gonna be a championship team, both of your best players are gonna have to produce nearly 95% of the time. I would say 100, but I'll say about 95% of the time. Both your players will have to produce their full potential each and every single game. Especially if you're the NBA Finals going against a team like the Warriors, a team that's been there, a team that has been to six finals. This is their sixth finals. A team that has won with this exact same core, with the exact same coach, with the same three players, Steph, Dre, and Clay. You know, they got Iguodala back, who I think is a big piece, and I'll talk about that just a little bit later. So, yeah, you're going to have to find out a way to get your two best players to play well together, because if not, then it's going to catch up to them, which I think is ultimately going to happen. I still have the Warriors in six. That means that the Celtics has to win one more game. Yes, I'm aware of that. So that leads me to the Warriors. Now, the Warriors, they played a pretty good first quarter. Steph Curry went off. Second quarter, he didn't even score a single point. Now, if you break that down in a half, let's say he scores 10 points in the first quarter, 10 points in the second quarter, game two or game three or whatever. What that does for your team is that that pretty much hides Steph Curry, if that makes sense. So if a guy drops 30 points, 20 points in a quarter, that whole second quarter, what happens is that defense on the other team, they're going to lock down on that guy. And that means other guys have to step up. And if those other guys just happen to be tired or very new to this experience and everything like that, then they will come to show. But if Steph Curry puts in 10 first quarter, 10 the second quarter, then you're going to be like, hey, he had a good half, you know, let's contain him, yada, 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 instead of let's lock down on him. And then you open up the floor for every other body. Yeah, for everybody else, I should say. So I'm not saying Steph Curry is ball. I'm not saying he's a bad player or he had a bad game or he didn't. But what I'm saying is when you go off in a quarter, especially against a team like Boston, who's just defensive-minded first and then nearly every defensive statistic, when you go against a team like that, and when they put all their minds to lock you down, that also makes your offense go out of rhythm. Because they were getting off the same shots. They were getting off the same shots as they were in the first quarter. Steph is getting off the same shots as well. But the thing was, they were latching on him a little bit more. They were stepping out of him on a little bit more. You know, when it goes later in the series, I think we're going to see Klay Thompson get hot. We're going to see Draymond Green start scoring more, I believe. We're going to see Andrew Wiggins. We're going to see him get out of his funk. He's still a little bright lights in, so far. You know. So, honestly, I'm not worried about the Warriors. You know, the Celtics surprised me. I'm not going to lie. They completely surprised me. I was not expecting them to take this game. But, hey, like I said, they're going to split. So, good game one. Good run by the Celtics to close out. They went on 17-0 run in the fourth quarter at one point. You know, so it's just a game of runs, as they say about the NBA. It's just a game of runs. And the Celtics had the perfect run at the perfect time. And now they split on the road. At least split. Or what if they go up 2-0 on the road? Then they have full home court advantage. By the way, I'm not a believer of home court advantage or anything like that. However, I am a believer on if you get a road win, then that is like a series changer. So for them to go in San Francisco and get a road win like that is specifically and most definitely a big game changer. I ain't gonna lie to you. I feel some type of way. So, last night, Kevin Durant put out a tweet and basically saying that Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, and Shannon Sharp ruined the game of sports debate. And I'm pissed because I was going to say the exact same thing, man. Now, Shannon Sharp, I don't watch Undisputed, so I don't know what Shannon Sharp says. I know he says, like, you know, he had the goat mask and everything like that, the cigars, everything like that. I get it. But I don't watch Undisputed, so, you know. But I will say, without a doubt, First Take ruined the whole topic of sports. And the reason why is because NBA Twitter. By the way, I'm black. I love wrestling and I love sports. Three of the worst things on Twitter is NBA Twitter, Black Twitter, and Wrestling Twitter. And I see it every single day. It's the worst things, like, ever to be put on Twitter. Like, can someone tell me if fashion Twitter is as, like, toxic as Wrestling Twitter, Black Twitter, and NBA Twitter? Like, please, can someone let me know, like, if anything's worse than those three? Please just let me know. Maybe I'm just saying it because I'm a part of those. I don't know. But can someone just let me know? Kevin Durant said that Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, and Shannon Sharp pretty much ruined the game of, like, sports debate. And I agree with you. I agree with him 1,000% because I was going to say the same thing. Because it's like now when people debate about sports, it's always about accomplishments, or it's always about what just happened. you know, what they call it, recency bias, which is, oh, recency bias. I hate it so much. And while I get it, it gets topics, it gets headlines, whatever. You also have to have consequences for when you say things, or not necessarily consequences, but you have to have proof, to statistical proof to back things up when you say it. Now in sports, people just say a headline. Like, you go on Twitter right now. I remember after the Celtics lost against the Warriors, someone put Jalen Brunson is overrated. That's it. They put no reason why they think he's overrated. Just Jalen Brunson's overrated with no statistical proof or anything behind it. So let me give you an example of how to say something and then how to prove it, how to have proof behind it. In my opinion, Dwayne Wade is a dirty player. I'm not taking away from his greatness. He has 3 championships, finals MVP, everything like that. First team All-NBA, you know, All-NBA selections, everything. Dwayne Wade was a great player. However, Dwayne Wade was dirty. He has a 4-minute and 12-second video you can look on YouTube, and it'll tell you that he's dirty. But he is a dirty player, man. You look at the Celtics series when he dislocated Rondo's shoulder. That's dirty. This guy, out of nowhere, elbowed Lance Stephenson in the face. Jumped over. I forgot who he jumped over. He jumped over someone, then elbowed Lance Stephenson in the face. Karate KG. He has so many dirty moments. He broke Kobe's nose in an All-Star game. Who breaks noses in an All-Star game? Like, he's a dirty player, in my opinion. You know, he's again, I'm not taking away from his greatness. Everything he does on the court is good. Whatever he does off the court is his business. Okay, I'm not one of those people that, oh, he's this, he's that, or he should do this with his, you know, that's all his business. You know, I only look at what I've been presented as. I've been presented to Dwayne Wade as a basketball player, so I will judge him as a basketball player. If he's not out here killing people or hurting kids or anything like that, then I'm not interested in it. You know, that's none of my business. But I think he's for sure a dirty player. See how I just gave you statistical proof, See, I took your YouTube and it'll show. I also, he was the one that pioneered this whole jump into your opponent pump fake bullshit that they got going on. All these players that do this little pump fake bullshit, jump into their defender and who flop and who fall after every single call and all that. Look at Dwayne Wade's highlights. He was the one that started that. Dwayne Wade is a very athletic player, everything like that, but he does so much extra stuff that, like, that has now been added to the modern game, but it's very negative, and it sucks to see, because it's like, dude, why are you falling? Why are you, you know, you look at Harden with the Rockets, James Harden back when he played with the Rockets. Every time going to the free throw line, falling down, everything like that. Dwayne Wade was the one that pioneered that. Now, I'm not saying Dwayne Wade is a bad player. I'm not saying, you know, he's terrible, anything like that. I'm just saying he's a dirty player. Simple as that. As a matter of fact, remember LeBron James before he went to the Heat? Chris Bosh before he went to the Heat? These guys, great players, tenacious, everything like that. They go to the Heat, they turn into floppers. I'm telling you, look at LeBron before he went to the Heat. He never flopped in Cleveland. Sure, he argued some calls, stuff like that, but he goes to Miami. LeBron James, 6'9", 250, flopping. Chris Bosh, nearly 7 feet, flopping. He goes to Miami. I'm just saying, you look at Dwayne Wade, and you look at anyone that's been on that Heat team, or anyone who goes to that Heat team or whatever. Back when Dwayne Wade was there, something changes. And it's because of Dwayne Wade, because of the antics that he does on the court. Again, I'm not taking away from his greatness or anything like that. Even though I think, even though I personally think that Allen Iverson's a better player than him. I personally think that. But hey, that's another story for another day. But see, that is how you make an opinion. You have proof to back it up. NBA Twitter does not do that. NBA Twitter just says statements and then that's it. Log off, do whatever, and then get retweets or get, you know, comment or whatever, anything like that. Get a couple likes, maybe some followers, yada, 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 yada. And that all started because of First Take, everything like that. Another one, I saw someone say Kevon Looney, the Warriors center, is going to develop into a top 10 center by next year. Now, I don't mean to hate on Kevon Looney or anything like that. I don't mean to, you know, say, oh, this guy, no. I'm not that type of guy. However, Kevon Looney is not going to develop into anything that he already is. He has been in the league for 7 years. So whatever you've seen is pretty much what he's going to be. And he's a great rebounder. He's a great rebounder. Great rebounder. You look back at UCLA, great rebounder. His only year there, great rebounder. He is a great rebounder, especially for his height. But God damn, man, can we stop with this recency bias bullshit, man? Like, someone said he's going to develop into a top 10 big man after that Mavericks series. Now, I'm from Dallas, the Dallas area, from Irving to be exact, which is a city east of Dallas, border of Dallas. So I watched the Mavericks, see the Mavericks, everything like that. I completely, you know, watch them do everything. Like, I completely understand their whole roster construction and everything like that, which, by the way, is poor. They need to get taller players, everything like that. But Luka Doncic is their best rebounder. Luka Doncic, ladies and gentlemen, Luka Doncic averaged 9.2 rebounds a game. He's their best rebounder. Their second rebounder, their second best rebounder is Dorian Finney-Smith at 6'7". In the series against the Warriors, Luka Doncic averaged 9.2 rebounds. Dorian Finney-Smith averaged 5.8 rebounds. What do you know Dorian Finney-Smith as? A shooter. That means he's out in the perimeter. That means no one is boxing out Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney averaged 10.6 rebounds that series against the Mavericks. So can we stop with this, oh, I just watched the game. Let me say something stupid, or let me say something after watching one game, and then let me log out. No, if you want to say something, have proof. Back it up. Give us reasons why you think that. In my opinion, Kevon Looney is not going to develop into a top 10 big. Because you know why? He's been in the league for 7 years, so whatever you see is pretty much what he's going to be. And he had one good series against a team where their second best rebounder averaged 5.8, and he's a three-point shooter. And their best rebounder was their point guard, which, by the way, Luka Doncic is not a point guard, but however, he is the ball handler of the team, so I guess he's the de facto point guard. But he came in as a shooting guard, as a small forward, whatever. So we got to stop with this, man. We got to stop. We got to get these fans, or whatever you want to call them, out of the NBA realm, because real fans, I'm not just saying, oh, I'm a real fan because, oh, yeah, I've just got a podcast, so I can say whatever. I'm a real fan because I don't sit here and make dumbass opinions off of one day, off of one game. That's one thing about the NBA. It's a series. It's 82 games. It's the best out of 7 series. So you're playing at least 4 games. That means you have 4 games to make opinions, 4 games to watch, 4 games to develop thoughts. Stop watching one game and just saying dumb shit. Stop watching a matchup and saying dumb shit. Kevon Looney had a good series against a team who doesn't even have a center. That center is Dwight Powell. And I'm sorry, Dwight Powell is not a good player. But name me something that Dwight Powell is good at. Time's up. You can't, okay? We got to stop with this stuff, man. We got to stop. Kevon Looney is a great rebounder. He's a good rotational player. James Wiseman, however, that's the guy I'm looking at. Again, he only played a couple games as a rookie year. He missed his completely entire second year this year. But when I look at James Wiseman, now that's someone I can say that could develop into an 18-11 guy in a couple years. Maybe a 25-something guy, but I say 18-11 in the next 3 years. You know, so we got to stop with this, man. We really got to stop with this. You know, we got to stop comparing people to other people. I know it's fine and everything like that, but Jesus Christ, we got to stop, you know, because we don't know. It's being on a dead horse. You can play 2K 20,000 times, do 20,000 simulations. They'll give you 20,000 different results, or it might give you the same results. That don't mean anything. We can only judge people based off what we saw. As we're coming to the end of this 2022 episode of 1999 Sports Talk, I would also like to bring up my Minnesota Timberwolves. So for the first time in years, not only did we make the playoffs, but it looks like we have a direction, a positive direction. We just went out and hired Tim Connelly, the former president of operations for the Denver Nuggets, now took the ladder moving here on a five-year, $40 million deal, $8 million a year, and he gets equity in ownership. Who wouldn't take that offer, right? You know, we finally have a direction. And, of course, I watch every single game in that first round, us against the Grizzlies. And my takeaway is that we need to trade Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns, talent-wise, is a phenomenal player. He shoots 40%, nearly 40%. He wins three-point shootout skills challenge. He's nearly 7 foot tall. He is a great offensive talent. Defense can improve. He's got a little better at it, but he can definitely improve on defense. But the reason why I say we need to trade Karl-Anthony Towns is a simple reason. His attitude. Now, again, I'm from the Dallas area. So growing up, I watched the Dallas Cowboys. To this very day, I still watch the Dallas Cowboys because they're an entertaining team. But I remember my dad will always tell me when we watch the Cowboy games is that the Cowboys or any other team are exactly what their quarterback is. Rarely will you ever have, you know, a team that's, you know, different than what their quarterback is. But most of the time, a team is as good as their quarterback or has the same attributes as their quarterback slash their leader of the team. And he would always say that Tony Romo was consistently inconsistent. So the Cowboys, you look at their record, 8-8, 8-8, 9-7, 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. They were consistently inconsistent. Why? Because of their quarterback. That's the same thing I look at for these Minnesota Timberwolves. And same thing I'm scared of. Because, again, Karl-Anthony Towns is a great offensive player. He has the great numbers. He does everything offensively. But his attitude, man. Him saying extra stuff about the refs in the press conference. Him not getting the ball and pouting. Him not getting the calls and fouling. He goes down on the floor. He's looking in the sky. He's looking at the refs and talking or whatever, while the other team is on a 5-4 fast break because he can't get back. He's too busy talking to the refs. You're disrupting the flow of the game. You're disrupting yourself. You're taking yourself out of the game. And you're the leader. You've been there longer than anyone else, including the coach, including the front office. You've been there. Everyone looks up to you. You got to know how to lead, not only on the court, not just, you know, in the box score, but the small things. And what I'm scared of is someone like Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards, he's only 20 years old, man. And we saw how he played in the playoffs. He is a phenomenal player, young player. He has the grit. That's what I like about him. He has the grit. He has the swag. He has the intangibles. He's someone that's tenacious. He's a hustle guy. But he's also talented with hustle. Hustle is a talent for sure. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is he's talent and hustle. Patrick Beverly, hustle. Jared Vanderbilt, hustle. Jalen McDaniels, hustle. All these guys are just hustlers. They don't need the ball in their hands. They don't need you don't need plays ran for them. But they'll go out and get those scrappy wins. They'll get them upset wins. The Detroit Pistons 0-4 wins. They would do stuff like that. And that is important for every team to realize. When I look at Karl Anthony Towns, he doesn't seem like that type of guy. And that's fine. But if you're a leader of the team, then you got to have a grit, or you got to have something, an edge to you. And what I'm scared of is Karl Anthony Towns is that his moping or his complaining to the refs, I'm scared that that's going to trickle down to someone like Anthony Edwards. You watch him go off, Anthony Edwards go off. You look at him when he made that game tying three in the corner. This man hit a three to tie up the game, an impossible three. And then you look at him, he's off to the sideline. Next play. That's his mindset. Next play. Hey, we tied the game up. Cool. Now, next play. Now, again, he did, ball watch. He did try to reach for the steal and job, made it hit the game winner, lay up, everything like that. But what I'm saying is, you look at Karl Anthony Towns in the same series. Hit a shot to make it, a four-point game? He's over telling the crowd to shush. Bro, there's still, minutes on the game clock, bro. Chill out. Take the dub. Then move on. Stop reacting. Stop doing this extra stuff. So what I'm scared of is that Karl Anthony Towns, a lot of his antics will trickle down, and they'll get in the mindset of other guys. Because, again, they look up to Karl Anthony Towns. And if he gets Anthony Edwards' head, like, hey, man, start complaining to the refs, or hey, talk to the refs, or hey, man, small things like that. Or yeah, he don't even got to tell him that. If Anthony Edwards just watches him do that, then that's going to be bad, because Anthony Edwards is a phenomenal player. And he's a guy, again, with hustle and talent. He's going to become a superstar. He's already a young star, but he's going to become a superstar. So my opinion is that they need to build around Anthony Edwards. They need to build around McDaniels. They need to build around Patrick Beverly. I'm not saying give them the ball all the time, but what I'm saying is keep them on the team. Make that the team. Make the grit, the hustle, the attitude. Make that the team. All these guys like Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, who wants to be the savior and take these questionable shots with hands in his face. Dude, no. Win the game. We don't care if you made the game winning shot. We don't care what outfit you bring to the game. We do not care. We want to see wins. We want to see wins. And we have not seen wins. And anytime we get a chance to see a win, guess what? It's our own fault. We get in our own freaking way. And it's so damn annoying to watch. So I think Karl Anthony Towns should not be on this team. You can do what you want with D'Lo. But definitely got to get rid of Cat, because it starts from the top. It starts from the top and it trickles down and affects everyone else. Just like my dad said with Tony Romo, whatever your quarterback is, whoever your quarterback is, whoever your leader is, that is the attribute of your team, or that is the characteristic of your team. So that's what I firmly believe. Now, where should Cat go? I've always said Atlanta, maybe. I would love to see Karl Anthony Towns and Trae Young together, but what we could get back, you could get Clint Capella, you could get Kevin Herter, just get some guys that can hustle. You could get DeAndre Hunter, just guys that are just rugged, guys that can hustle, guys that don't need the ball in the hands, but that will stop the other team. You look at the Celtics, the team that's in the finals right now, Marcus Smart. He don't need the ball in his hands. He might want the ball in his hands, but he definitely does not need the ball in his hands. Because he's a hustler. You look at defense. He won Defensive Player of the Year. The first since Gary Payton. The first guard since Gary Payton. You look at everything he does that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. The way he sets a screen. Him drawing charges. Him stepping out and guarding, people three-point line. And then sinking down to the paint, guarding taller offensive players. You look at that. Karl Anthony Towns does not come off as that guy. He just man, it just so bothers him because he's so talented, man. And it's like a switch like that does not get turned this late into his career. And so we'll see, man. We'll see what happens. But in my opinion, Tim Connelly, congratulations. Welcome. Tim Connelly is a phenomenal president. You look at what he did with Denver. They had, you know, middle picks. They didn't have a lot of lottery picks. The highest pick they had, I believe, was Jamal Murray in the past couple drafts, and he was picked seventh. But you look at Nikola Jokic, second round, Michael Porter Jr. At the end of the lottery, 14. You know, you look at a lot of these players on that Nuggets team, and he's been able to find them. So if he could bring that to our team, you know, we don't need these top picks, but if we could find the right pieces, the right players, that is a great thing. So again, Tim Connelly, welcome to the job. You got a big decision to make. You want to keep Cat? Probably are. Hey, cool. But I'm just letting you know what eventually is going to happen. D'Angelo Russell might have to go. You shoot 30% from the field in the playoffs, you might have to go. So yeah, man, that's my take. Thank you for listening tonight. New episode will be dropping pretty soon. Glad to be back. Without of a doubt, y'all take it easy. And let's go Warriors. Dubs in six. Bye.